This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Odyssey. All of our worst fears were exposed to be true yesterday, BT, by The Athletic in exposing Woody Johnson for meddling, at the very least, and that's a problem. Now, I do have reason to believe that it's not as bad as it seems right now, but before we get to that, it was pretty ugly with the details that were revealed by The Athletic yesterday.
Yeah, it really was. I guess Woody is pretty involved, huh? We finally got the answer. Is Woody hands-on? Is he hands-off? Hey, when you don't feel well you go to the pharmacist to pick up the medicine, does the pharmacist tell you how to change the oil? Probably not. Woody, cut the checks. That's it.
Right.
I don't want to hear anything about football from Woody Johnson. I really don't.
And that's an issue not only for the results of what we saw, whether it's the Joe Douglas era or prior to that, or your concerns about moving forward, but also potentially impacting, and I guarantee you it has impacted who the Jets could hire over the years and who they could hire moving forward. So this is a problem. This is what any, it's not just Woody Johnson, owners in sports, and Boomer referenced a couple today, whether it's the Colts or the Panthers, like owners in the NFL, of course, but owners in sports, they get involved in the sports decisions are a major, major problem. It happened with the Mets prior to Steve Cohen. I don't even know if it still happens now, but you know, it definitely happened back then. Remember with the stuff with Jeff Wilpon, how we wanted to have his imprint on it. That's how things go wrong. Woody Johnson is a rich man. He's an owner of a football team. He can do what he wants. But to have the ultimate success as an owner, you need to hire football people and let them do their job.
I mean, listen, it's a very basic statement. You're 100% right, but it's proven as elusive for the Jets as any team in the history of sports. I mean, they're an absolute mess, and everybody's getting tired of hearing it about that. We know it. We've lived it. I think that there's a lot of Jet fans that are toeing that line of apathy, which is a very dangerous place to be. You know, but it's funny because we talk to and we talk about the Yankees and haven't won since 2009, and you know, Hal doesn't do this and Hal doesn't do that. The irony, though, is the Yankees, outside of a couple of years ago when they didn't make the playoffs when Judge got hurt, I mean, they're a pillar of consistency, and for the most part, Hal doesn't say a peep. You know, we can complain about Cashman and some of the moves and who's really doing the lineup and the data applicator and all the things that we hit with the Yankees, but one thing we're pretty sure about the Yankees is that Hal lets his people, from the baseball perspective, do their job. And I think that should be appreciated, because this is evidence now, further evidence, that when you have somebody who's not a football person or specific to one of the sport we're talking about, but here with Woody and the Jets, and they start to get their fingerprints and their paws on the situation, it becomes an unbridled mess. I do think, though, I'm not going to defend Woody here, because I'm at my wit's end with him. But I'm going to at least say this. There's a difference between being involved in a belligerent manner, which I don't think is the case. I don't think that, like, Woody bangs on the door, makes everybody feel uncomfortable, and starts dropping edicts. This is what we're doing. I don't think that's Woody's persona. Now, it doesn't matter if he... It really doesn't matter how he communicates what he wants. It's, does he communicate what he wants? But I don't think that he's, like, unpredictable emotionally. I think he's desperate. I think he's desperate to get out of this hellhole of losing. But I don't think that he's belligerent, so
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems like a mess out there, as always.
Well, it is a mess, and there are layers to it. My biggest issue, like, forget about firing Saleh without consulting anyone. That's an issue. Or certain things like nixing a Lazard trade that could have brought in Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
That's a problem, but whatever, not the end of the thing. Blocking Bryce Huff's extension, whatever, not a major thing. Benching Tony Adams, whatever. Like, those are not good, but those are a major. The worst thing to me was that he forced Douglas to fire his best friend, Rex Hogan. Like, that, once you start doing that, now you're creating a toxic environment.
Spite.
Like, well, right, so there's no need. Like, if you don't believe Joe is doing his job,
yep,
clean house. Get everybody out. Don't fire a guy that you know is going to upset him and hurt what he believes in. Like, you hire Joe Douglas, you let him hire his staff. Once you start chopping off the arms, now you're creating a major problem here. Not to mention, like, going along with those other things. And then, BT, like, spinning it forward, who reading this would want to come in here and work for under Woody Johnson?
Somebody who wants their first shot, which is exactly what the Jets can't do. You can't give somebody their first shot. Isn't that what we've always said?
Yeah.
The Jets need a big boy. The Jets need a source of authority. The Jets need a figure who's done it, who's who's a proven commodity around the NFL. Now, unless you cede all power to whomever, and we know the names, Gruden's, Vrabel, Belichick, pipe dream with him, but you know what I mean. One of those guys, and you lay it out, hey, here's 6 years at a gazillion dollars, and it's written in the contract, because you could do this, you've got all the power, and whether it's me or Christopher, we're out. We're staying out. Build this team. You've got 100% power. Now, if you give somebody that magic stick, then they'll say, well, because legally you're bound by it at that point. So I would think that there'd be more of a willingness to take the jump and into this mess. The only I want to go back to the Hogan situation for a second. How long was Rex here? Is that 6 years? Was that sound right?
Oh, you talking about
five,
him
thank
himself?
You, Bob.
Okay,
Rex Hogan, yep. 5 years. Okay, so yeah, if you're firing somebody as a means to be petty or to get back at someone, that's just twisted.
Right.
Like, that's almost inhumane, all right?
Right, but if that's his best guy, like, I know what you're saying. There was
but his best guy's done nothing, okay, because they haven't won forever. So what has his best guy done?
But then just clean house. And also,
well, that's true.
And also, if they're, like, all at once, and if they're trying to make moves, and you're preventing that from being the owner. Point is, look, we know the results have been a mess with the Jets. Now that this gets exposed here, how does that look for anybody else? Like, I don't know about you, but if it were me going to look for a job, I'd be like, I'm not going to work for this guy. So, yeah, you're going to end up getting somebody who's desperate and wants to be a first-time head coach, not like Ben Johnson, who's going to have plenty of other opportunities. It's going to be somebody who's so desperate for the money and wants an opportunity. You know what? I'll take it and deal with it. But this is where coaches have come to die. And they also go elsewhere and have success. Look at what Todd Bowles is doing in Tampa. Like, and you can look at it and say, well, how much success? But still, Todd Bowles is a decent head coach. Like, the Jets had that, and they kicked him aside. It's been a mess here. But I have reason to believe that it's not as bad as it may seem right now. Now, I don't have hope.
I'm all ears.
I don't have hope that they're going to do this, and I know you disagree with this, but they would be making a major mistake if they let go of Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers is not the problem. If they bring in a real head coach and keep Aaron Rodgers, they can have success as soon as next year. There are pieces in place with this team. Obviously, got to build a better offensive line. We know about that. But there are pieces on that defense that can be coached to being better. There are skilled position players on that offense that can be coached to being better. I don't know how hurt Rodgers is. Boomer's talking about that today. Okay, maybe that's a factor. But Aaron Rodgers is not the problem here. And I hope that the Jets can identify a head coach GM combination that can come in here and still see what can potentially be salvaged from this mess over the last 2 years and believe that Aaron Rodgers can lead them to a successful season next year. Because if you blow it all up, then you're starting from scratch and it's going to take years, if you're lucky, to get back to where you might have the talent to be able to win some games that the Jets have right now.
There, I would rather investigate trading Gardner and Wilson and Breece Hall. I'm dead serious when I say this, than bring back Rodgers. Because the argument about bringing back Rodgers, it's, all right, hey, we'll fix it, we'll capture it in a bottle for 1 year, and it's going to be a lot better than it was this year. But that is not what we're looking for. And you've always said this about the Mets, right?
Yeah.
You guys want sustainability. So let's just say it's a veteran coach, and he's like, okay, I'll go with Rodgers for a year. And let's say next year the Jets go 10-7. All right, they get a wild card, whatever it might be. But they don't win the Super Bowl, but they have a good season, even 9-8. Good, decent season, fun season, not nearly like this mess. Then what happens in 2026? Eventually, it's going to be a reboot. So, to me, I would reboot now. I look at Rodgers. He can't throw, or he either doesn't or he can't. I don't know which one. Throw the ball downfield. He can't move, and he doesn't lead anymore. So I'm not dropping this all in Aaron's doorsteps. There's been so many fundamental meltdowns on every level. Ownership, you know.
I mean, the fact
the
that
top level to the bottom, the last guy on special teams, they're a disaster. It's not Aaron's fault, but he's not the answer.
The fact that this owner would have the gall to think that you want to bench Aaron Rodgers after losing to the Broncos, like, dude, that just shows you all you need to know. And if I'm Rodgers, I don't want to be back under these circumstances. I'd say I want to get out. He didn't realize how bad it was. But then if he wants out, and he's not going to have many options,
where
do the Jets turn? Like, to me, the best thing Woody could do is acknowledge that he has made major mistakes here. Don't make another one by forcing Rodgers out. Hire the right people. Now, I'll give it to them. Like, let's say you hire Gruden, let him evaluate. If Gruden thinks that Rodgers is toast, so be it. I'll be fine with that. But Rodgers should not be out because Woody says, I'm done with Aaron Rodgers. That would be a major mistake, wanting and expecting instant results from a guy who isn't Superman. He's human, getting older, coming off a year where he was injured for the entire year. Like, his expectations for Rodgers were unrealistic. And now to maybe force him out, like he already wanted to do after whatever it was, week four, week five, that to me would be wrong by Woody Johnson. The Jets have a chance to be competitive next year if Woody makes the right moves.
I started talking about Woody Johnson about a month or so ago. Then we'll get to these calls. I know you guys want to jump in. So I really, to me, that was the bigger issue. And I thought that a lot of us were missing it or, you know, just kind of glossing over it. To me, there's a direct correlation. Good product, good owner. Bad product, bad owner. And Woody's a bad owner. So no, that's not breaking any news. He's one of the worst owners in all the sports, okay? And we know that, and because we've lived it. But what's more disconcerting to me, or even most disconcerting at this point, is that he doesn't even have, and this is a dangerous thing for somebody who's not good at their job, he doesn't know what he doesn't know. And you start chiming in now, and you start getting involved. Hey, it's one thing to be a little loud or pop off to the media or, you know, whatever. Hey, listen, if we don't win, drop an edict. That's your team. But now you think you know football? You know nothing about football. And now he thinks he does. And that's the worst thing. Think about the statement I'm about to make. That actually is the most bothersome, worst thing I've heard about the Jets, I think, this entire century. Because you can look at a quarterback and you can analyze players and, you know, how fast they are and how hard they throw the ball and all the and the stats, everything that's tangible. There was always a hope for me that Woody really wasn't this bad. This story, to me, fully illuminates he's worse than I thought.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Danny is in Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, boys. You know, guys, BT, you know, at 7 years old, I walked into Shea Stadium. Okay, my father brings me to Shea Stadium. I walk in and see that grass and see that stadium and see that team.
Yeah, how Tom Seaver pitch? How'd Seaver pitch that? They probably got a gem from Tommy.
Exactly.
Oh, Jets. The Jets got it.
And so my stadium is, you know, half baseball stadium, if you remember, and it's because of the Mets. And it was beautiful, right?
Uh-huh.
To me, as a 7-year-old kid, I'm the kid that's, you know, enamored, and I have no choice at this point to be a Jet fan. It's in my DNA. That's where I've been. And you know what, man? 48 years later, I have maybe 10 good memories or 10 good feelings with this team, okay? I am at my wit's end, BT. I am so downtrodden from what the expectations of this year have made this worse than it's ever possibly been. I cannot believe that Woody Johnson is a billionaire and he runs a billion-dollar operation and he cannot figure out how to run this organization in a functional manner. It's mind-blowing to me, BT.
Yeah, well, it is, Danny, but now, listen, Danny, it's the worst. It's seemingly, it's a never-ending fate. Listen, nobody wants to hear this today, but eventually the sun will rise on the Jets. And that's the one thing. I'm not going to go to the unkillable speech, you know. I'm not going to try to rally the troops. But this is the reality of being a fan. Number one, no matter how much you give of your heart and your money, there's no guarantees it's reciprocated. That's the risk we take, number one. We all know that. Just like when a boxer steps in the ring and, God forbid, he gets hurt. Well, you know what? You decided to choose that craft. You knew the implicit possibility. Like, there were real fears when you can get hurt, okay? Like, if Mike Tyson was killed the other night, hey, you're 58. What do you expect? You're fighting somebody who's 30 years old, basically. So I don't want to hear about that. Danny, I get it. It stinks. But think about all the sad sack stories, starting maybe with the 62 Mets, who just 7 years later had one of the best seasons of all time for a New York baseball team. It's going to get better. You just got to ride it out.
Yeah, and it's been too long since they've been good. That's the other problem. But as sports fans, that's what we do. Like, you're going to complain about which team you're rooting for? We all complain. Every sports fan. Look at the Giants, even though they have the Super Bowls. Like, Giant fans aren't happy right now. Yankee fans, they were just in the World Series. They're not happy right now.
Yeah.
Because they haven't won a World Series since 2009. Met fans haven't won one since 1980. Like,
But the difference, Al, is most of those fans, I know you're like, Evan's a little bit young for it, you're a little bit young for it, but almost all of those fans have at least a database of positive memories. Jet fans don't.
But Yankee fans,
Islander fans have it. Ranger fans have it. I mean, Knicks fans don't really have it. So it's really Knicks and Rangers, Knicks and Jets. But all the other teams have won.
Specifically.
I'm talking about a championship. That's what it's about, right?
I mean, the Jets have never even had really, though, the sustained success even the Knicks had in the 90s. Like, when was the last time the Jets dominated a decade?
No, that's true. That's true.
I mean, maybe 2 years here, 2 years there.
No, I mean, the early 80s were pretty good, and then it morphed into the mid-80s with Kenny O'Brien. But no, you're right.
Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, Sal, at BT, I feel bad for you Jet fans, but I will tell you this. So I know, Sal, you said you wanted to run it back with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Let's just do this. If you don't see the nostalgia of Aaron Rodgers in the past, like how great he was in the past, and you just look at his body of work for the last 3 years, what team would give Aaron Rodgers another chance? Like, what would his market be? He wouldn't have a market.
Yeah, well,
it's just like you said with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, when he was the baddest man on the planet at one point in his life, but he's 58 years old. It's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Like, you need to just get on a young quarterback, and it just is what it is. Sometimes you just got to try to do it the right way instead of keep trying to, like, get to the head of the line. And
right,
that's the problem.
Right.
I
understand that, Patrick, but when was the last time they did it the right way? Like, what in your mind would be the right way?
The right way for them to do it is they really just have to have a stopgap quarterback.
Okay.
Not Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is toxic. He's literally taking everything out of the organization.
Based on what are you saying he's toxic? Why do you think Aaron Rodgers is toxic?
The reason why is because there's so many players that probably want to say stuff, but they're like, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers is basically gonna get me out of here. And he's just a toxic guy. You need a guy that's coachable.
I don't know
he's
what
not
you're,
coachable.
I don't know
he
what you're basing.
He wants to literally say He wants to do exactly what he wants to do. That's why he came to the Jets.
But Patrick, when you win as much as he has, and thank you for the call, you get that. I mean, that's the lure. That's the appeal of bringing him in. I don't believe Aaron Rodgers is toxic. I look at everybody else as being the problem, not him. And I have reason to believe that. And if you were to ask me my plan, it's not foolishly saying, well, Aaron Rodgers is going to lead them to a Super Bowl. It's saying, I agree with you that they need a stopgap. What I don't want to happen is the Jets to throw out there a rookie starter. That's the one thing I don't want to have happen. And if they did that, we've seen that fail many times over. So you can't go with a rookie quarterback, a new head coach, and think that that's going to work. It just hasn't happened before. So for me, if I'm going with a stopgap, I want it to be Aaron Rodgers. He's here, under contract anyway, and I think he could give them the best chance to win next year while developing the next quarterback. That's just my opinion on it.
Yeah, I think he's borderline shot. I don't share that opinion. I don't want to see him anymore, and it's not personal. It just didn't work out. They took a shot. It didn't work out. Can I give you an analogy? I have not given you an analogy in a while.
Okay.
Can I give you one?
Yeah.
All right. So, because the word and the term sustained success comes up. I brought it up with the Mets. We're talking about this with the Jets now. The problem with the Jets is that they chase wealth, and I'll just use wealth as code for a winning team. They chase wealth, or at least financial solvency, by taking whatever money they have, going into any casino, placing it on 23 red, and hope that they hit it, okay? That's what they hope happens.
Right.
And they never do. Instead of, let me max out with my 401k based on the government parameters. Let me take out money each month and put it in the kids' 529. Let me have a life insurance policy for my wife and my kids. Let me do the things, you know, those little step-by-step checkpoints that most people do in life, if you can, to eventually have money to live.
Right.
Instead of taking it all and basically taking one swing at the sky. So until they start putting a couple of chips here and a couple of here and a couple there and a couple there, it's going to be a colossal implosion like it always is.
There's no shortcuts. I used to take, like, if I had 10 bucks or 20 bucks on me from my King Colin check, I would go down to the OTB and look to make a score.
Yeah, and how did it go for you?
Yeah, sometimes okay, but usually
by the way, I lived that life, too, when I was in Vegas early in my career. I'm not saying that I was above it when I was 20-something years old. I get it. I tried.
Could have saved the 10 each week and ended up with 30, but I wanted to roll the dice on a long shot. Turn that 10 into 50 at the OTB, or maybe 350 at the OTB.
We are roll the dice kind of guys, but that's one thing to, you know, with certain things to throw some long passes and to be aggressive when you're trying to really reset and recalibrate. You can't dump it all on 23 red. You've got to have it. You got to invest properly, and they simply don't know how.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call on this Wednesday, of course, talking Jets to start. We'll get to some of the Giants stuff as well coming up. You know, look, Tommy DeVito is going to take over the reins here. Some Giants not really happy about that. I found that interesting. So we'll get to some of those comments as well as the Soto stuff. There was an article on NJ.com yesterday by Bob Clappish that painted a favorable picture for the Yankees, so we could dissect that. But it's been all Jets to start here, BT, as we look moving forward. And I know there are many layers to it, and we discussed the comments and all the stuff that was in The Athletic yesterday. But for me, moving forward, like, all right, we know what is, we know what was, we know what's happened. Like, Saleh's out, Douglas is out, Woody was a mess. How do you fix this moving forward? For me, it's hiring the right general manager with the right head coach. And when I mean right, I mean experience. Like, it can't be another first-timer that Woody's going to have say on. It will show me that the Jets finally have an idea of what to do if they hire an experienced guy, because you know somebody like Gruden, let's say, wouldn't come here if he thought Woody was going to get involved in his business.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys will say flat out, look, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I need you to get the hell out of the way. And if you aren't going to do that, I'm not coming here. Like Matt Rhule, when Matt Rhule was turning down the job.
Yes.
Now, obviously, he failed in Carolina, but he also went to a spot where a bad owner.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt Rhule, remember, turned it down because he's like, I'm not going to work under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that showed me the Jets weren't ready to be taken seriously. And I have no belief other than blind faith and hope that Woody maybe will learn that his way hasn't worked and maybe he could change.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to change. Otherwise, we're going to be on this treadmill for the rest of our lives here, or at least as long as he owns the team. I think that he's at the point now where he's going to be more willing to cede some power maybe than he's ever been. I mean, if his level of desperation and embarrassment is not at an all-time high, then he's even worse than we thought. And he's already the worst owner in football, so I don't really know how you get worse than that. I do agree with your thought about, Sal, the synergy between the head coach and the general manager. I'd like to see, I don't know, a conventional hire, like, let's hire the general manager first, and then the general manager brings in the head coach, rather than the head coach being introduced, and then we try to find a general manager, and then they're not on the same contract or whatever. It's all got to be tied in together. You know, whoever the GM is, whoever the head coach is, five-year deals, six-year deals, if it's really, you know, if it's a home run, seven-year deals, press conference, both men there, not the guessing game, who's got the power, who was hired first. Try doing it like the other great teams do. Right. That's a starting point.
Yeah, and I like your idea about the 5 years. Like, I know it sounds ridiculous, 5 or 7 years, but the four-year thing isn't working because we clearly know what's going to happen. You get evaluated the first 2 years, year three, well, it's a make-or-break year, and then you don't have it in year three, and then you're out. You're lucky. I mean, Saleh got to start year four, but it was different circumstances, and he shouldn't have gotten year four the way that it was. So, yes, on top of that, hiring the right GM, right head coach, and having it be a tandem, a true tandem together, hopefully beyond 4 years, just stick with your gut, hire them, and then let it play out. Also, to me, I want Rodgers back at quarterback because I think it helps the Jets next year and moving forward. Where you're next year, you got to lay the foundation. You're not going to throw a rookie quarterback assuming you draft one, to the Wolves, you're going to have a stopgap quarterback. I would make it be Aaron Rodgers because I believe he is an asset to whatever organization he would be in. I'm not buying the stuff that he is.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. So if he's an asset to any organization that he'd be in, how come he hasn't been an asset to the team that he's currently with, the Jets?
Because look at all that's gone on with Willie Johnson.
But how much is he responsible for it? He has not played well.
They have no leader. They asked him to come in and be the leader.
Yeah, like, they also asked him to come to mandatory minicamp. He said, I'm going to Egypt. And everybody laughed when I had a little bit of an issue with that. But like the perceptual... you know, feel around Rodgers that he's been singing to his own beat since day one. And I guess I'll admit I was prepared to overlook that if he brought some wins, but he didn't bring any wins.
Yeah, but maybe a real head coach wouldn't allow that. They'd be like, all right, Aaron, look, you want to be here, you want to be taken seriously, and this is going to be your last opportunity to play football in life?
Yeah.
Here's what I need from you.
Yep.
No more McAfee nonsense, no more trips to Egypt.
For this team, though, because I think that it's already been established here.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I still look at Rodgers as the winner, the one winner of the group. Like, if you take a group picture of the Jets, the entire organization, I see one winner. Spot the winner. I see one. It's Rodgers. So I have, like, everybody, well, what are you basing that off of? He's done it. He's done it at the highest of levels year in, year out. So all the other pieces should be looking to him. Not to be Superman, but following his lead. I think there's a lot of guys who don't follow his lead. And I think that starts from the head coach, where there was no real head coach keeping everybody in order. And it's just basically every man for himself. And Rodgers was trying to get the group in line, but he can't do that. Plus, at this age, he's not the same player. Like, there's a lot going on there. But I think Rodgers could be an asset, NBA stopgap for better days for this Jets organization moving forward.
See, I look at Rodgers at this point, Sal, as the we all remember these guys growing up, right? Somebody in the NBA had to score, you know, 20 points a game on a bad team, right?
Yeah.
So he, to me, is now, even though he's not, you know, not really filling things up, but he basically shoots whenever he wants. And if you're trying to correct a culture and you do it on a first, like a Pat Riley type, that first day of training camp, right? Mm-hmm. You got to lay that foundation, and we're running, we're hitting, we're accountable. We're going hard, and when you have a guy that's still there that had the green light basically from half court, I think it's very hard to push forward with the new agenda. That's why, for me, he's got to go. I have zero, not 1%, 0.00% watching Rodgers back with this team. It's got to be over. It should be over. I don't think he can play anymore. I don't think they follow his lead. I don't think they respect him the way they once did. It's over.
Yeah, I don't think you're alone, but I think that would be a huge mistake if they let him go. Justin is calling from Wantagu, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
Hey, morning, boys. It's actually Wantage. You know,
Wantage. I'm sorry, that's my fault. Wantage.
It's all good. Yeah. Hey, yeah, it's all.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But anyway, so just listening to you guys talk, you know, listen to all passionate fans. I'm like everyone. I'm at this point, though. I'm just so fed up and tired of the same old Jets. I think at this point, like you mentioned, Woody Johnson's got a great, great time right now. Or he has the ability to reset this franchise for once and for all. We thought we did with Joe Douglas and Sala. Obviously, it didn't work out. He got too impatient. Tried to go for the home run with Aaron Rodgers. We need to reset. We need to actually finally build this culture and do something like the Lions have done. Do something like Washington finally did. You know, obviously Woody's not going anywhere, but he needs to take a step back. Whether you bring in a person like Gruden, I don't know how you marry him and the GM. You know, like Rex Ryan is all over social media. He wants his job again. You know, obviously when Rex was here, he was great. I think he's probably a little long in the tooth now for the NFL. But you need someone who's going to come in and set the culture. You know, we have great young players, both sides of the ball, that just look apathetic. You know, Sauce looks like a shadow of himself. Dale Wilson, I don't know what's going on. It's just so frustrating. Yep. We have the pieces. We need someone to actually do something with them.
It's criminal what they're doing to these players. I mean, now they've got to take ownership of their failures and regression as well. But, you know, most bad teams just have a dearth of good players. Like, uninteresting, low ceiling, cheap, you know, second and third year players. That's like what most bad teams have. The Jets are so unique in the sense that they've got a few borderline transcendent type of talents and they still stink. And not only has their film regressed, but their attitude and their love for the game is diminished to the point where it doesn't even seem like they want to be on the field. What an indictment.
Yeah, it's a problem, which is why I think that they need a real coach. Now, I don't think Rex is a real coach, but the call brought him up. And one thing I was thinking about, the only justification, at least in my mind, that I would have for backing Rex Ryan being hired again to be the head coach is that he's the only one that we know can work with Woody. Like, he already knows what he's gotten into, what he's going to be getting into.
Yeah.
He knows how Woody works. Woody looks up to him and loves him, and maybe he trusts him more. Now, the problem is Rex isn't the guy. Like, he's just not a good head coach. He's not somebody I would trust moving forward. Would I trust him in the short term with a talented team that's ready to win now? Yeah, which is why I said they should have fired Ulbrich and hired Rex before the Texans game, whatever it was, going back in season and see what they could do. I wouldn't commit to him, like, future-wise. I don't think he's going to build the organization for sustained success.
Yeah.
But
what, are you going to hire him for 2 years?
But don't you think that there is something to his relationship with Woody?
I do, but I think it's detrimental at this point because I think there's too much familiarity, which means that Rex wouldn't have the, not the stones, because Rex will say whatever he wants, but the authority, the juice to tell Woody to check out because Rex is desperate and nobody's hiring Rex unless the Jets hire Rex. And I think Rex knows that, and I think everybody knows that, unless it's for the D.C. position somewhere else.
It's like Isaiah and Dolan, it feels like.
A little bit. Yeah, that's interesting. And how'd that go?
I get it, because Isaiah wasn't the right guy, and Rex isn't the right guy. But we need somebody that can put Woody in his place as an owner. Rex, I think, can do that. The problem is he's not the right football guy. Like, I want Gruden to come here, and he's the one established name that maybe
I'm
has
not even sold on Gruden.
Yeah, I know. But then who? Frank
really
was not going to do that.
Why not? If you give him the hammer, if you say, hey,
why? You think Woody's going to give him the hammer? He's not.
Unless he's so embarrassed, that's what I said before, and so ready to change his approach that maybe he does acquiesce in some power, and you know, otherwise Vrabel's not coming here. I mean, listen, Rex would be appealing in the sense that, and let me be clear, I don't want Rex Ryan to be the coach of the Jets. Some do. All right, I don't know why. I think it's nuts.
Well, but I told you why. I think it's because of the Woody thing and the success that he had here. Under, like, he almost negates some of Woody's bad.
I guess, but I know, here's what I know with from Rex's perspective. Now, whomever they hire, and I don't think it will be Rex, but whomever they hire, very well, unless it's Vrabel or one of the or Gruden, you might hire an F. You might hire a coordinator, and he equates literally to an F or a D plus. I know Rex is not that. I know that. I know he's not an F. I know he's not a D. You know, C plus ish, and you know, with the right situation, maybe a C or a B minus. I'd like to at least hire, but I know he's not an A, is my point. I would at least like to hire somebody who potentially could be an A. That's all I'm saying.
The same thing, me too. I'm just saying that at least I'm like, man, Woody, all his problems, at least I know Rex would offset that, but it's not good enough to justify bringing him in because I know he's not the answer long term. Ideally, I want somebody who would put Woody in his place as an owner and say, hey, that's great, you're the owner, and I know, like, if I don't do my job, you're more than welcome to fire me. But you got to let me do my job.
Yeah, let me do what you hired me to do.
Correct, and get out of my way. And if you can't guarantee that you're going to do that, then I'm not going to come here.
But even under your thought about having Rodgers come back, which I want no part of, and then the young quarterback kind of watching, I don't want Rex being around the young quarterback.
Yeah, well, that's...
From a developmental point of view.
I don't want him either. I just want the team to be good next year.
You think?
I'm trying to get...
I feel...
I get it.
I think Evan feels. I think Joe feels. I mean, come on.
I get it.
All right.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get into some of the baseball stuff. We were just talking about it during the break there. About Soto. Again, we're following along here, the different rumors and rumblings that are out there.
Shifting winds, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm still not buying it, but we can get into that coming up in a little bit. And with the Giants making a change, some of the Giant players not happy. Look, I'm just looking forward to watching anybody other than Daniel Jones under center come Sunday for the Giants. But we continue with the Jets talk. Let's get back to some of these calls here, BT. 888-808-1019. Bob is in Edison. What's up, Bob? Hey, Bob. All right, AJ is in Lincroft. What's up, AJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? A few Jets points. I kind of agree with you, Sal, about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's the main problem. He's not playing to what we thought he would play, but if the defense played the way they played last year, I don't think we're talking about Rodgers as bad as we are. I mean, the defense was shutting people down. I truly believe that we wouldn't be talking about him.
I agree
given
with that.
The way the defense played last year.
You may be talking about him in a different scope. Like, hey, Rodgers isn't at that next level that we're going to need to get to the Super Bowl, whatever it may be. But they would be winning a lot more games. And you're right. I don't think Rodgers would be the villain that he's become here because they wouldn't be losing as much.
Right. And as far as him coming back next year, unless the situation is perfect with the head coach, I mean, getting a rookie quarterback, it doesn't work out to begin with most teams, let alone it will never work out with the Jets. This may be an unpopular opinion. I'd much rather take a flyer on this kid, Jordan Travis from Florida State, who was a stud in college. I know he wasn't highly touted, but he was a stud in college.
Uh-huh.
And that might be an unpopular opinion, but getting another year under Rodgers, I'd rather do that.
I got news for AJ. At this point, we're open to any opinion and any possibility that could change our fate. That's come up a few times. I've said it. He's not ready. But, you know, I mean, maybe down the road, he was drafted for a reason. Obviously, you had to get him healthy. He's not fully there yet. Listen,
Not
fully healthy. Okay. I do believe that the venom that has been directed at Rodgers is a little misplaced. It's a complete colossal erosion of the defense. There's a lot of layers. Basically, it's all encompassing. The coaching stinks, the line stinks. They can't tackle.
Yeah.
It's everybody's fault, including Rodgers.
The defense, the offensive on the coach. You just nailed it. Like, those are all things that...
I'm not getting away from that. There's no doubt that, like, the defense's regression has been stark and grossly disappointing. However, I will say this. Forget about the numbers and the quarterback rating and all the... Four games this year. Four. He had the football, last drive, chance to win. 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 3, 0-4.
Right, but again, a lot of that has to do with, to me, the offensive line. And then how many are we going to say, well, how many leads did he give to the defense?
Not that many. Well, I mean, how many times did they have no points at the half?
But what about the Patriots game?
And they won. That was one game. Patriots.
No. The Patriots
game. Oh, I'm sorry. The second game up there.
Yeah, they had the lead. The Patriots come drive.
I thought you meant the first game.
With Jacoby Brissett, they drive the length of the field. The Colts game, the defense couldn't get one stop. Rodgers gave them plenty of lead. Mm-hmm. They blew that. Those are two games right there that could change the entire outlook of the season.
Or if you would have connected not even on three or four, how about two of those final four drives? That's two more wins and two fewer losses. Listen, I'm saying that the blame is fairly equitable.
I mean, a Vikings game, if Sauce Gardner could catch an interception, like, think about it. And I'm not saying Rodgers was good in the Viking game because he wasn't in the beginning. As a matter of fact, he was one of the worst games that I saw from Rodgers, but he turned it on in the second half. Like, and there are a lot of games where the defense has really cost them.
I'm not disputing that, Sal. There's also the Texans game, which they won where they had no points at the half, or the other day when they had five straight possessions without a first down. He's the quarterback. That's on him. The Cardinals game, they scored 6 points. The blame is in every direction. Here's another reason why I don't want Rodgers back. Although I defend him a little because he hasn't been terrible, just hasn't been good enough. He has not been really good knowing every ounce of this playbook. He's going to be better with a new system at this age?
No, I don't.
Well, a new system's coming with a new coach, and that's got to be factored in.
Well, that's why Gruden seems to me to be the best fit. Not only do I think he's probably the most established that you're going to be able to get, but also he could maximize Rodgers and have a similar style. I mean, that's the system that Gruden had when he was with Green Bay and offensive coordinator, all those different things. He runs the same thing as a head coach, and Rodgers may be more familiar with that. Look, Rodgers, I say I want him back. I don't want him back under the same exact circumstances. Rodgers is going to have to adapt. He's clearly not going to have his guys where he wanted consistency or continuity. Well, that's not happening. And I don't think he's going to come back, but I think that would be another mistake by Woody Johnson. Another mistake on top of the endless mistakes he's already made, because I firmly believe Aaron Rodgers, even at this age, with the diminished skill set, gives the Jets the best chance to win football games next year while helping build a foundation for a brighter future.
They're such a mess. I mean, the more I think about this, it's so intertwined and complex and depressing, because even if they do a full reboot, either with a veteran coach or a young, unproven coach who they think is the right fit, and they start over entirely, right? But they don't trade anybody. The next year, their three best players are due massive contracts.
Right.
And where are you in the rebuild? Like, it's not going to be congruent with where they are on the rebuild timeline. But unfortunately, like, how many rebuilding teams have three Pro Bowlers that they're going to have to give $300 million combined to?
It's
like untenable.
You're right. It's a mess. It's a mess. John is calling from Queens. What's up, John?
Hey, listen, allow me to make
introduce myself.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
So here's the thing. Two things, actually. One is, I think we're forgetting, you know, what an evolution of a head coach is, right? You look, I'm a Steelers fan, so you see, and I understand, you get a guy like Tomlin, you bring him in, he's a young guy, he's got to learn how to be a head coach. You got to give him time to get through things. Tomlin had Roethlisberger, right, for 15 years of his, or 17 years of his career, of his young coach. He has to learn how to develop a new coach, all the things that he didn't know how to do because he wasn't exposed to it. And coaches are the best version between 50 and 65. Look at every great coach you know of. Every one of them was never better than when they have decades in the seat, or a couple of, you know, 20 years in the seat. Look at a guy like Andy Reid. Look at Belichick. All of them excelled at it. So you guys had a guy in Rex Ryan that brought you to back-to-back championship games, and you ran him out of town.
Well, no. Hold on. John, just one slight correction. I don't disagree with where coaches, their wheelhouse, their prime would be. And there's a few outliers. Spoelstra, he's a Hall of Famer with the Heat, a couple of others, whatever. But I think your point's fairly on point. We didn't run him out of town. He stopped winning. He didn't know how to build the team. He got Mangini's guys, and he won, and we enjoyed it. And then when Mangini's guys either aged out or just, you know, whatever, got hurt or contracts, whatever, he never even proved remotely capable of pushing this thing forward. Rex lost a lot of games.
John, you're right. In theory, you just picked the wrong name. The guy that they shouldn't have run out of town was Mangini. He was building it the right way. Now, again, a lot of that was his own fault and the attitude, but had they stuck that through, I believe the Jets would have broken through and had their guy. He was the right hire. Him and Tannenbaum built that team that Rex ended up taking to back-to-back AFC championship games. But they knew how to build a team. They knew what it would take to build a winner. They were on their way to doing that. Woody reacted too quickly and got rid of Mangini and didn't like the attitude, and people were rubbed the wrong way that he had the Belichick-like demeanor without accomplishing anything. Mangini took him to the playoffs, and yeah. Mangini was building a team. And by the way, Mangini probably didn't want Brett Favre, right? That was the whole thing. But Woody wanted to go get Brett Favre.
Remember that on the tarmac? I'm pretty sure that Mangini named his son.
Yeah, Brett. Right. I believe you're right. But I'm trying to embrace it. Mangini was the guy. I wholeheartedly, deep in my heart, deep in my gut, believe Eric Mangini was the right guy to turn this franchise around once and for all, and they got away from it too quickly. And the results show that the guy right after him, who proved to be not a good coach or not a team builder, took his teams that Mangini built with the interior, the offensive line, defense, all those things.
The toughness.
He knows how to build a football team. God, man, that was the one. If you could go back, I don't know where many Jet fans would sit on this one. For me, if I could go back and make one
next
move,
to one, let me see. Yeah. Go ahead.
That would be the move.
Keep him rather than get rid of him.
That would be the one move that I would make that I think could change the trajectory of the franchise moving forward.
I mean, maybe, and I liked Mangini. I thought he was a little too rigid. I told you the story about how when I used to interview him before we would hit record.
Yes.
You know, he was a dude's dude. He was great. He was cool.
With the media. We know.
No, he was trying to be Belichick, trying to conceal stuff, and that works when you win, and it works when you're Belichick, and that's pretty much it. So I don't think he really was ever himself, and maybe if he found that true voice, and I don't mean in terms of coaching, just in terms of being himself, maybe it would have worked out better. But he also got a chance in San Francisco, didn't do anything, and nobody's hired him since. And I mean the Browns. I mean,
yeah, but that was a different. That was a bad ownership.
Now we're making excuses for the guy.
But it was. It's true. I mean, who has had success in Cleveland as a head coach? Bill Belichick didn't have success in Cleveland as a head coach.
Last year, I think he won 11 games, or one of those years he won 11. But that was it.
They went from Parcells to Al Groh, and then Groh, whatever. Like you know, what
he left.
Happened
he went
there.
To college after
Herm
a year.
Herm was pretty good.
I liked Herm. Not great, but I liked him.
Then Mangini. Mangini had three seasons, one of which was a playoff year.
What's his records again?
I don't have that
in front of you.
I don't have his total record.
I'm sure, he had one 4-win season early, and then he had a good season.
Think about it. He had only three seasons, one of which was the playoffs the first year, and then Rex takes over and immediately takes Mangini's teams to back-to-back AFC championships, and then that starts the downward spiral. Like you thought it was great. Oh, back-to-back AFC. No, but if you stuck with Mangini, maybe you would have had the sustained success because Rex proved to not be good, went in the wrong direction. Todd Bowles brought in. They never gave him a fair chance. He's out of here. Oh, Gase into Salah. Like, it's a total mess.
I can't, just hearing these names.
I know.
God.
He went, say that again, Dove. I'm going to pull up the records right here. Mangini, his career record was, what is this here? Games, coach, win, loss. Okay. Mangini was 23-25.
Give me all that.
I don't have the year by year, unfortunately, with the thing I'm looking at here. Rex was 46-50.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse from there. Herm was 39-41.
Who was?
Herm, 39-41. Parcells, 29-19.
Let's see. Did you hear the story from Phil today? Hold on. I'll get back to that in a moment.
Yes, I did.
About Parcells.
About the tombstone on the right. Yeah, but that's what you need. A coach.
How great is that?
Winning football games. He was on with Boomer and Geo, in case you missed it. Check it out on the free Odyssey app, saying at 1-7, Sims is like, dude, why? You look like you're killing yourself out there. Why?
1-7 with the Jets, in case people don't know.
Exactly.
That's when he had Rick Meyer. Right. That's when Vinny got hurt. And he eventually went to our buddy Ray Lucas. They finished 8-8. And Phil basically said, dude, what are you doing? You're killing yourself here, Bill. And he's like, hey, every record counts. It goes on your tombstone.
Yeah, that record they're going to put on your tombstone. That's what you want.
That was great.
BT and Sal on the family.
I got it, though, real quick. 10-6 with the Jets, then 4-12. I thought there was a four winner. Then he bounced back to 9-7, and then obviously Rex came in.
How does that justify getting fired?
I don't know. Well, it had to be a personality thing.
That's what I'm
certainly
saying.
Certainly not from a performance perspective.
That to me was the mistake. If you go back over the last however many years, 20 years.
Yeah, it goes back to about 18 at that point.
That to me was the biggest mistake that the Jets have made. All right.